everybody. Happy New Year and welcome to the first 2025 edition of Talking Tigs. I'm Scott Girard. Joining me as always, Tommy Johnson, Daniel Zollinger. Happy New Year to you both. I hope y'all had a great holidays. Happy to be in the new year with you. Had a great LSU bowl win that we can talk about. Got some other bowl games we can talk about. Some good, some, I don't know, probably could have done without, but nonetheless, happy to be talking with you guys about it. So, I don't know, let's catch up. How y'all been? How was your holidays?
Good to be with you. Good holiday. And now I watched a lot of good college football, and now we're, you know, stepping into the final couple of games left, and excited to be able to talk about it with you, talk about an LSU win to close out the season. It's hard to believe football season's already over, but here we are.
Yep, LSU finished 2024 with a bang and the big Texas Bowl victory, and now we're here in 2025, which is our seventh calendar year of podcasting, which is kind of crazy, but it's been a long road and have enjoyed it, so we're hoping for another good year. We still got a few games left of the college football playoff to enjoy coming up this week, or the semifinals, and then the NFL playoffs after that. Unfortunately, I believe the Bengals and Joe Burrow are eliminated today, but they gave it a good shot. But lots to break down in the football and wider sports world with you all, so happy to be here.
Amen. And you know what? It's not like the Bengals, or at least Joe Burrow, didn't do his part. I mean, they kind of needed some help, which you'd never want to be in that position. You know, I felt like even if LSU had one of those wins, we maybe could have eked out instead of lost, like maybe USC or something. Yeah, we could have been on the bubble with the playoff, but yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, we did fine against Baylor. Looked like a pretty good match game, because the end result looked like it was pretty close, but I mean, if you watched it throughout, Tigers were pretty much in control the whole time. Only like probably a couple other bowl games, like playoff games, actually, this year. I mean, Ohio State looks like they're playing with their hair on fire. But hey, we'll talk about the Tigers first. I mean, get out to a pretty commanding start, at least something that we're not used to, especially in bowl games, right? Sometimes you're like trudging along or just playing with the team we're up against, but Tigers were up, what, like 28-7 at one point in the first half. So looked pretty good playing against Dave Aranda and his squad. But eventually they came back. You could see they did have an offense. It ultimately got into gear, and you know, you saw some of the same situations LSU's been in the past, where they look good for a few downs and then they just give up big plays. But as far as offense, look great as usual. I don't know, Tommy. I mean, it was, like I said, I mean, it was good to finish the year off with the win. You want to do that, kind of propels you into the next season. LSU did that. And I don't know, there's still, I think, maybe a name or two to still be determined, like Chris Hilton, who also looked good. But LSU finished off the year with a nice nightcap.
I agree. I was overall pleasantly surprised. I thought that as we've expected or as we've seen, that game could have gone 10 different ways. Yeah. Not to toot my own horn, but I'm pretty sure I predicted LSU to win 42-35 or 31, yeah, maybe.
You're close.
So pretty close. I think I might have won that one, so I was a little bit excited about that. But I think that Nussmeier played really well. I thought he had probably one of his better games of the entire season, maybe his best game of the season. It seemed like him and the wide receivers were on a better wavelength, which I was really glad to see. Running game I thought was decent, nothing to write home about, but it was good to see, Caden Durham get a little bit more work. I would say defensive wise, tough to lose, a tough way for Whit Weeks to go out, with that injury. But then again, I mean, he's got a whole off season to recover. So I think he'll be fine. But that was, but it also kind of provided one of the better moments of the game where we saw the entire team kind of come out and, you know, I don't know what you say, but like dap him up,
wish him well,
wish him well. Yeah. But I mean, you know, people, that was a really a good moment for him. Aaron Anderson, another, you know, spotlight from that game, from him, with 91 receiving yards. I'm excited to see him next year. And then, oh, I would say, I think Tre'Dez Green was probably the breakout player for the whole game.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hello, Tre'Dez Green.
Yeah, welcome to the party. I mean, he looks great. Yeah. I'm excited to see. And I think that something we talked about on this podcast and that a lot of people in the LSU world have talked about is how do you replace a guy like Mason Taylor, who's had a pretty stellar career? And there he goes. I mean, he was catching. He was targeted multiple times by Nussmeier. And I think that's with 2 weeks of bowl practice. So, you know, give him an off, give all these receivers and Nussmeier an off season. I think that, you know, LSU's, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. I mean, we've been down this road before where everything looks good, but, I mean, I'm excited. I think it renews some confidence.
Yeah. At the end of, good but not great, kind of falling short of expectation season, a bowl win against a pretty quality opponent in Baylor does feel good, and it was a comprehensive win top to bottom. These bowl game results can be difficult to predict and a little bit wonky given the changing personnel and the differences in motivation. I myself said LSU was going to win, but in a real low scoring contest, which turned out to be the opposite of the case, as we were putting question marks on the LSU offense, especially around the offensive line without multiple receiving targets in the passing game. Nussmeier continued to light it up, finding new guys. Chris Hilton, late season surge continued with 2 touchdown catches and over 100 yards. One touchdown catch, but over 100 yards. And you called out Tre'Dez Green, who was looking like a man among boys out there, even as a true freshman. The 6'7 frame, you can definitely see why he's a big red zone target, and I think will be an increasing focal point of the offense going into 2025. The defensive side of the ball had a lot of youngsters playing kind of across the board, and they did pretty good. I mean, Baylor had an explosive offense. They put up 31 points, but they didn't really put it too much into question down the stretch. I think they cut the lead to 10 during the third quarter, but LSU was pretty much in the driver's seat the entire game. The Whit Weeks injury, like you mentioned, Tommy, pretty devastating. I think it looked a little more serious on the field than maybe it turned out to be. They were reporting a broken fibula, which is the bone kind of in the back of the lower leg. And you could see on Twitter, that people were posting videos of the trainer kind of snapping his ankle back into place.
Yes.
From what I understand, they were basically just resetting the fibula bone kind of end to end so that they could put the air cast on it, which you saw kind of the big inflatable boot that goes around the foot as they carted him off. And so it's supposed to take, I think, a couple months to recover, but they're saying he should be 100% good to go before next season. So that's good to hear, as he was really kind of the big star from this year's schedule, and we'll need him to lead the defense next year. But yeah, so I'm happy with how things turned out, and Nussmeier again was solid, over 300 yards with the MVP. That's multiple bowl game MVPs for Nussmeier, which it maybe didn't really expect, but he shows up in that moment. So hopefully these positive things can translate to next year. And at least it gives a flash to the people out there that LSU isn't just kind of rolling over at the end of the season and there are a few sparks left in the program.
Yeah, BK's got full control of this baby. He's bringing receipts next year. We were told that, so that's what we're expecting. One last thing about Weeks. I had seen initially, I thought it was a dislocated ankle.
That's what it looks like.
And then you look at the video, and you, like you said, it you can see him. You can see like a pop back in play. Oh, okay, dislocated ankle. Still needed surgery and screws. That's what I heard. But when you say it's a broken leg, I'm like, okay, well, I guess that makes sense too. It's kind of weird. But took it like a champ. Was just sitting on the back of the golf cart, sipping water. Like you said, Tommy, everyone's just coming up, giving them daps. You don't really see that, at least not to that extent. I mean, you know, in the pros, if it's something serious, yeah, like both teams will come out. But I mean, you knew if you look back at some video, it's available. It's like, oh yeah, I can see that. Oh my God, that probably hurt like hell. But
I remember watching in real time, seeing them pop it back into place, and I could not believe that.
Yeah. But yeah, you knew he wasn't coming back, but he will
when
be back.
When they put that air cast on, it was over.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, he'll be back for spring. pretty sure. Now, as far as us in the offense, yeah, you said they were clicking at some point. Yeah, like it's a game of inches, as they call it, and there were literally two plays that I saw back-to-back where I was like, oh, yeah, man, if we have both of these guys next year, LSU, it would, you know, this could be like 2019 2.0. It was where Nuss was falling back.
Yes.
Pressure's coming on him. He threw it towards the sideline, and Aaron Anderson got not one, but both like toes in.
Catching the NFL.
Yes. And he caught it. And then, like, the very next play, they hit Hilton on just like a straight end zone route, caught it, touchdown. I'm like, dang, where's that been? That looks good. And that could be there for us next year. Remains to be seen. But those two plays back to back, I'm like, see, I knew LSU was capable of something. It's just getting it there consistently. Kind of like the defense, which you want to see. But hey, like you said, we got spring and summer for everybody to click. LSU's got some new wide receivers coming in. But what we had for the bowl game looked pretty damn good.
No, I agree. I was very excited.
And I was going to mention scoring on all three sides of the ball, both offense, defense, with Devon Keyes, the freshman, the interception return, and then Xavier Thomas with the kick return. That was pretty awesome to see. So very exciting plays, and that really kind of kickstarted things for the rest of the game in terms of momentum. And it's kind of hard to lose the game if you're scoring all across the board.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but did that kickoff return came right after a dagger touchdown. You know, so I felt like that was a huge momentum push for us. And I mean, that reminded me, this game, you know how we've talked about like the LSU of old, and I'm not talking about 2019. Like that's, you know, that's obviously you want to get back to that, but that's such a once in a generation type
goal. Yeah.
But like this game felt like 2012, 2013, 2014 competitive LSU football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not going to win the national championship. That's fair enough, but looked like something that you know, something more along those lines.
Yeah, and by the way, it was a dagger touchdown because that's the one where Weeks,
popped
his ankle, and then it was like it took forever. Then very next thing, we ran the kickoff back. I'm like, wow, what a crazy series of events. Because he got hurt, players came out. It was touching. They scored, unfortunately, but. We pretty much wiped that off the board with a kick return touchdown, for crying out loud, which we've been talking about. Now we've had a couple of those. So, hey, maybe we're starting to get some momentum there. Ball looks promising. Anyway, now as far – and we scored in pretty much every phase of the game. Devon Keyes, hey, welcome to the party. Had a pick six. Was very nice. Started scoring before some of our other players on offense got going. I would say some teams, you know, other bowl games didn't have that problem. Other teams did. Man, I was wrong about my dogs. There was not smart money there. That smart money was gone once they lost their quarterback and a few other players. Dogs tried to make a game of it, maybe got halfway into it. Could not turn back Notre Dame. They're not to be denied, I guess. And, you know, especially after they had to move the game because of that terrible tragedy, hearts and prayers go out. Did you guys know that I think Jack Beck's, was it his brother? Yeah, it was just crazy, man. Prayers go out to them, man. That's just horrible. But anyway, other than that, I'd say the probably the best game was surprisingly, Texas and Arizona State. I could have almost tooted my own horn. I think I picked them to pull it out, but unfortunately they didn't. But hey, at least we still get an SEC team in the playoff, because otherwise we might be looking pretty bad right now, even though they are fresh off of the transfer portal themselves from coming from the Big 12. But I'd say they provided the best game. Ohio State just blew the doors off of Oregon, which was another just – surprising, just kind of a wacky game considering, you know, it was so contested last time, and Oregon just, I don't know, man, it just, they weren't there. Something was missing, right? It did not look like the same matchup.
I mean, they played their worst game by far, worst game of the season. And it wasn't even close. They had no answers for Ohio State. on either side of the ball. And I mean, it was a devastating, devastating, you know, loss for them, for a team that's, you know, kind of been the leader for the entire season. But gosh dang, Ohio State looks good. If they come, I think if they come with half of that, that they, you know, half of what they gave Oregon, they win the whole thing. And yeah. So, I mean, that, you know, Jeremiah Smith, right?
Yeah.
He's, yep. You know, he's a stud. Will Howard is, you know, is improved. The defense across the board is, especially with, you know, you talk about Caleb Downs is like the star player and he had a good game, but across the board, I mean, they've got 4 and 5 year guys playing across that defense. And so it's a very, very good team and fun to watch. And I don't know if anybody can with now, you know, there were a lot of, I had questions about them early in the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that team doubts, comes back, sure. You know what I mean? If that team comes back and plays against, you know, whoever in this coming game or the national championship game, then, you know, you might have a return to back to earth or whatever. But right now, I think Ohio State is head and shoulders above everyone in the field.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy. Sudden. Yeah. It's kind of crazy to see Ohio State go from losing their last game and in the game against Michigan in kind of a ground and pound to just lighting it up in the Rose Bowl against Oregon. I was hoping for more from the Ducks. They continued their trend of just not being able to close it out in the postseason, despite having plenty of successful regular seasons. And the overall kind of wacky playoff continues as the top four seeds, not necessarily the top four teams, but the top four seeds all lost, coming off the bye. So there was plenty of questions about whether the bye actually hurts teams. Are they rusty? And then the most of all, the discussion about the seeding, like teams, AKA Boise and Arizona State, they probably shouldn't be getting a top four seed just because they won their conference championship. We saw Boise get outmatched by Penn State in just about every phase of the game. They didn't kind of just completely roll over, but Penn State kind of just what was too much for them talent wise. They sold it against Ashton Jeanty and he just couldn't get much going. The Notre Dame versus Georgia game, one day delayed, was kind of a snooze fest. Georgia with their backup quarterback Gunnar Stockton in, he did okay, but their offense was kind of pathetic. Lots of drop passes and just not really national championship worthy. Meanwhile, Notre Dame just kind of did enough to win in that one.
I don't know. I was very impressed with Notre Dame.
Yeah, they played solid, especially that defense. They looked hungry and yeah, athletic there. And so they get the matchup against Penn State in the semifinal. I think Notre Dame is favored by 2. So wouldn't be surprised to see the Irish in the championship, and that kind of sparked conversations between Notre Dame and LSU fans. Like, Notre Dame is better with Marcus Freeman, their current coach, and better without Brian Kelly. I'm not quite ready to make that call, but some things to think about, I guess. And then, yeah, Ohio State looked very good, and Texas kind of, they were out to a big lead, and then Cam Scataboo did some crazy white boy running back things for Arizona State, and they probably should have won that game in the second overtime as they plugged it in for 6+2, and then Texas just kind of had the black magic voodoo to come right back and close it out.
I wanted Arizona State to win so bad. I mean, that was a heroic performance by Scataboo and the rest of that team. Mm-hmm. But
you can't say it was the refs, but
I mean, you can.
You can, because there was that one the most blatant targeting call we've seen all season. Correct. Like, should not be in question, and that potentially, most likely, would have changed the course of the last few minutes of the game.
Yeah, Sark really, really lucked out on that one.
They all.
And I would say if Ohio, you know, with Ohio State, playing as well as they are, they're the team to beat, but Sark, you know, that targeting might have just given Sark a national championship, or lack of the targeting call.
Right. Maybe. I mean, he's got to face Ohio State, right? I mean, I don't know. I still think Arizona State, like with what they were playing with, if they'd have won that game and they'd had some momentum, who knows, maybe not, because it's so up and down this year. But, I hear what you're saying. It's like, it would have been great to see Arizona State go, but yeah, Sark still got a good team. And it's like, he only lost to Georgia twice all year, and Georgia's, you know, they had that dog in them, but man, they were just kind of beleaguered towards the end of the season. So They just kind of ran out of gas. Otherwise, we might still see Georgia. But Georgia, they brought some unsweet tea to the Sugar Bowl, and it was unfortunate. But it remains to be seen. Now we have Penn State, Notre Dame, OSU, Texas. It's weird kind of rooting for Texas, right? Because it's like they're just in the conference. It doesn't seem like it seems natural yet. It's like you don't care about the conference stuff. But I mean, because there's always conference arguments to be had. So because if you were claiming Oregon all season long, you can't make it because they were the number one team in the country until they played a team within their division.
I just will say that, I've seen a lot of people saying that the SEC is overrated this year, and I think they're probably right. I mean, The proof's in the pudding, just is with how poorly the conference across the board played in bowl season.
Pretty good record comparatively.
I mean, in the games that mattered, I don't know.
True. Okay,
Tennessee. Tennessee looked bad. Georgia looked bad.
Yeah.
Alabama embarrassing.
Yeah. I hear you. Ole Miss looked like they could have made a case for hey, we should have been in the playoff this year.
No, that's fair enough. And they're playing Duke.
Sure.
In the Mayo Bowl. Oh no, that was Minnesota. Not I was thinking of Duke's Mayo.
Yeah.
We talked about it throughout this whole year. There did not seem to be, especially in SEC, there was not a dominant elite team. It might have been Georgia with Carson Beck, but even with him, I would say that I don't think Gunnar Stockton took them down, five notches.
May have to do with the quarterbacking. Like, it seemed that this year's SEC crop of quarterbacks was super elite across the board. Like, you got guys like Jackson Dart, Ole Miss, and Jalen Milroe and Quinn Ewers who are all good, but there's no necessarily Heisman winners there that can take their team to the promised land.
No, you're right.
And there was no elite team, kind of like you were alluding to, and there hasn't been all season. So I would agree if someone said, man, the SEC's down this year, I'd say, you're right. Oh, the SEC is totally not the dominant conference at all anymore. I'm like, it's one season. You can look back.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not gonna say the SEC is down and will not be good next year or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think this year was a down year for this conference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, looking forward, we have two more playoff games. I don't know who you got. Do you think it's Penn State or Notre Dame? I know you guys would probably side with OSU. I think the Penn State Notre Dame would probably be a better matchup, right? I guess I kind of feel like it's either going to be a weird close game with OSU in Texas, or Ohio State blows the doors off of them again, and then it's just a good defensive battle between Penn State and Notre Dame. What do you say?
I think Ohio State wins against Texas. I don't know if they're going to blow them out, but I think it's going to be a solid win for them. I think there are some chinks in the armor for Texas. And like I said, now this could all change because we've seen Ohio State, we saw them struggle earlier in the year, but I haven't seen an Ohio State team this dominant in a playoffs, I haven't seen an Ohio State team this dominant since the 2019 Ohio State team was very good with Okuda Fields, Justin Fields. That was a pretty dominant Ohio State team. Obviously lost on basically on a ticky-tack play to Clemson. They seem like the real deal. I think that if they come out and play as well as they did in the past two playoff games, they take it against Texas, and it's a pretty handy win. On the other side, I think you're right. I think the Notre Dame Penn State game is going to be a lot of fun. I'm on Notre Dame. I like them. I think that they showed a lot against Georgia, and the question with Notre Dame has been, can they live up to the big moment? Can they perform in you know, they can play well in their regular season. But when it comes to, you look back at that 2012 national championship against Alabama, you know, they were undefeated and played so good, Manti Te'o and all that kind of stuff. And they come and just get absolutely embarrassed. That's not the Notre Dame we saw against Georgia. I think that they're going to be able to handle Penn State, that's just me. Dana, what do you think?
I think not to be contrarian, but I think I'm going to go the opposite on both games. I know Ohio State looked very good, but Texas was my preseason champion, and the only team they lost to this season, Georgia, is now out of the playoffs. So the runway is clear, and I think that Sark will cook something up. They got the double overtime, and maybe that'll be a little awakening for Texas that they got to play with a little more tenacity. So Longhorns, basically a home game at AT&T Stadium in Arlington in the Cotton Bowl. And then Penn State impressed me against Boise State. I think they're quite similar to Notre Dame. Both teams want to run the ball and have a stable of backs that can do so. Meanwhile, just playing kind of hard-nosed defense and grinding you down. But Penn State, I think, has been picking up steam, even though they did lose to Oregon in the Big Ten Championship. But kind of decent top to bottom. And I'm going to go with the Nittany Lions there in the Orange Bowl, which is a drivable distance away from me, but don't really have a dog in that fight, so I will not be attending.
Right, unless there's just, for some weird reason, a surplus of tickets, in which case maybe they're pretty reasonable. How far are you from there?
About an hour and a half away from the Orange Bowl.
Not too bad.
Maybe, yeah.
If I could go down... I'm seeing the get-in price for the game at $225, and that might be I don't have that much interest.
A little rich for your blood.
Uh-huh. It's right. on a work night.
Yeah, just check it the night before. So anyway, yeah, I don't know. I think that was pretty much it on the football scoop, but I don't know. I think we had picked up another recruit for the 2026 class, but that was pretty much it for the transfer portal. Right. Like we didn't, there weren't any big splashes towards the, didn't really lose anybody else. I don't think, but still, I mean, it opens back up soon enough. Maybe we could get some more additions. Cause you know, I don't know. Do you guys think we got all of the positions of need, or is there still something else out there that, man, we missed out on? Cause I feel like we got offensive line, wide receiver, kind of what we needed.
And I think, you know, I'm probably Joe Sloan and Brian Kelly maybe knew something we didn't, which I think they did, is, you know, the position of need everybody was talking about was tight end.
And got that now.
Now it looks like, I mean, Tre'Davious Green can keep up and, you know, look as good as he did in that bowl game next year, then we're fine. So
yeah,
I think that, you know, and I've seen a lot of people on Twitter saying that the loss of Bryce Underwood is maybe the, you know, oh, that's the best thing that ever happened to LSU, because you got to spread out that NIL money and really pick up a bunch of people and not just spend it all on one guy. I don't know if that's, you know, exaggerated or if that's just kind of sour grapes, but the portal action that we've seen really does seem to be, you know, pretty good.
Yeah, I think we pretty much covered all the bases. The only one that people might kind of point to is the safety position, as Sage Ryan was one of the bigger losses at that safety spot. And we didn't really get a one-for-one replacement there. So if LSU was going to kind of put an exclamation point on the transfer portal class, they might look at some safeties. I know that they were hosting a guy from Auburn and then another one from NC State. So that could still be coming in the pipeline. But overall, yeah, very pleased. And I think that it gives enough firepower for both whoever the offensive coordinator is next year, Joe Sloan probably, and then Blake Baker on defense to work with and cook up a winning recipe for 2025.
Yeah, and I think they mentioned they were going to put Toviano back there, right? So it's like if they don't get somebody in the portal, it's work that guy first team spring and summer and through the fall, I guess.
Yeah, right? And he got some decent reps in the game against Baylor too in a fill-in role, so maybe that's a sign of things to come.
Right. What else? I had mentioned last week that the men and women's basketball were starting their SEC schedule this week. Women won handily on the road against Arkansas. Men did not against Vanderbilt at home. They kind of got out physical pretty much. It was a very physical game from Vanderbilt, something LSU has not seen thus far this year, I guess, from according to some of the players. But I don't know. Maybe it's a good wake up call, but I don't know. What else did you guys have?
I mean, I got to see a little bit of the Vanderbilt game. A little bit of a disappointing loss for LSU. I think this is the first time in, like, gosh, I don't even know how long. I saw some stat where it was like the first time in 10 years or something that Vanderbilt's coming in one against LSU in Baton Rouge. I don't know if that's true or not, but the McMahon, there's just, you know, it's like we've said it over and over again. There's just not a fire in the same way that there was when Will Wade was here. I hope they can put together a decent season, but man, I don't know. I watched a lot of college basketball yesterday. I watched Alabama play. I watched Auburn play. And I watched who's the other SEC team I watched play? Tennessee. I watched Tennessee play. So I watched 1, 2, and 5, the national ranking teams. This SEC this year for basketball. Talk about a conference being down. If we're down in football, we're up in basketball.
Yeah.
Because the amount of top 25 ranked teams we have in this conference is insane. So I think LSU is going to be in for a rough season. I hope we can put together something pretty good, but you look at Tennessee at number one, Auburn at number two, then you have Texas A&M at 13. Florida at 6. Oh, Alabama's at 5. Florida's at 6. Oklahoma at 12. Texas A&M at 13, Mississippi State at 17, Arkansas at 23, Ole Miss 24. We are going to have a lot of good teams coming in and out of the PMAC, and I hope we can just kind of keep our head above water.
Agreed. I mean, the record right now at 11-3 is not bad, but a lot of that was cupcakes and the non-conference schedule against some pretty poorly ranked opponents, and we had our first SEC game against Vanderbilt, who is not even one of those teams that Tommy just rattled off in the top 25, and they beat us by 8, which isn't horrible, but we saw a lot of turnovers by the Tigers and overall just not super elite basketball. So if they're going to want to have any chance of making a sort of run into February or March, then that'll have to get cleaned up and just play more cohesively. The schedule is brutal. We've got 13 ranked teams left on the schedule. So it's hard to see us getting more than like 5 wins in the SEC, which is probably not going to cut it. And if that's how things end up, then it may be Matt McMahon's last year in Baton Rouge. On the women's side, they got their second SEC win to go to 17-0, so a very good start for them. The next game is kind of their first big test. It's going to be against Tennessee in Knoxville. So that's coming on the 9th, which is, what day of the week is that? Thursday. So yeah, good luck to the LSU women there. And so you can tune into that one on SEC Network. I guess it's the same time as the football playoff, so many of you will probably be watching that instead, which is understandable. But yeah, all the hopes is on the women's basketball at this point in time. And that's all I got.
Yes, it is. Well, hey, that means baseball's just around the corner. Spring ball's coming soon. I think that's what a lot of fans are looking forward to. But yeah, definitely Lady Tigers, man. I mean, look great already. It would be nice to see what'd you call them? The McMinn, Tommy?
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe they could get it together, get some cohesion going, because iron sharpens iron. So you got to think at some point, either we can get better by playing this slate of murderers row that's in college basketball right now, or it's for a long season and Matt McMahon is sailing off into the sunset, maybe, but we'll see.
Do we think, I mean, is there, so Will Wade is at, as we all know, he's at McNeese. I mean, what if Scott Woodward swallows his pride and brings him back? And is that even a possibility? What do we think?
Pretty low. I don't think that he would really not stoop to that level, but kind of get that black eye. And I'm not sure that Will Wade himself would want it, considering way that he was kind of shown the door. I wouldn't be super surprised to see him back in the SEC at a different program in the next couple of years, someone else that's struggling. But at LSU, I don't know if that meeting of the minds would work out.
Yeah, I don't see Scott looking at it as swallowing pride either, because he didn't do anything wrong.
Who, Scott?
in his mind, probably. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying he did anything wrong, but it would be, you know, it would be an admission that that maybe he made the wrong decision for on the court.
Right. No, I definitely know what you're saying, because just looking in recent years, like, do you have to get rid of your coach? Maybe not.
I mean, look at Bruce Pearl.
Yeah. Just waver the storm.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. That's what we could have done. Cause he's still coaching. He got shown the door, probably mostly because of optics. Anywho, could he come back? Maybe we'll see. Right. I'm not betting for a while because Georgia kind of embarrassed me, but it's okay. When did you say the playoff games were?
So Thursday and Friday, so the 9th and the 10th, both at 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern.
Why on a Thursday? Isn't that just
because they don't want to compete with the NFL?
Yeah, because the NFL, like in the playoffs, they start going to their Saturday and Sunday schedule, especially for the wild card round. So they're plopping college football on Thursday and Friday, and then they got the Classic National Championship on a Monday, which is always weird.
Which is the worst.
You know, just roll the dice. Just roll the dice. There's plenty of people out there. I've seen it where they only care about college, right?
I'm one of them.
Yeah, right.
I watch the NFL, but I'm not. You know, I'm not, if given the choice, like if I had to choose, I'm picking the college football playoff games over NFL games, but that's
right. When would you really be conflicted unless the Saints were hosting a playoff game at the same time LSU might be playing in a playoff game?
For me, that's not even that's okay.
So you don't need a split screen. I think not I'd be conflicted, but yeah, I'd want to watch both at the same time. But other than that, yeah, I think depending on the game, I would probably opt for college. So I don't know. I guess that's for me and the advertisers to work out, or at least the networks.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get into their ear. Anyway, I think that's probably everything, unless you guys had something else.
No, that's a wrap. Hope our listeners enjoy their 2025 and have a happy new year.
Amen. And we'll, of course, talk to you next week. We'll have some more information because it's always changing. But that'll do it for us here on Talking Tigs right now. Hope everyone has a good week. Stay safe, stay tuned, and we will talk to you next time right here on Talking Tigs.